Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Tonight I have a lesson on our heart. As I was preparing this message, all week long I've been praying about what God wanted me to speak, what it was that He wanted me to share. It was just yesterday that God began to highlight a topic to me. We're not able to get and grasp with the time that we had tonight everything. So this is kind of a shadow or a foretaste of something else that we can develop later. And I think the next coming school of prophets, I will speak on it more. But it has to do with assumption and presumption versus revelation. How do we know what we're feeling, hearing, and seeing is really the voice of the Lord or the will of the Lord? So many times we have a feeling or we think something or we have a view or, you know, we have a perception of a person and a situation or a scenario, and because we feel it or think it, we believe it's God. Or we feel it and think it and we believe it's not God. So there's like this, sometimes it's a thin line and it's not easy to tell. What I felt like the Lord wanted to talk about tonight was the degree of truth in our heart. How honest are we with one another? How honest are we with ourselves? And how honest are we with God? Are we someone who bears our heart before the Lord, asks the Lord to highlight any area within us that there's compromise or any area that is contrary to the nature of Christ? Do we do that? If we do it, do we do it often? When it comes to hearing God, we've got to start at the heart. The heart is where it all starts. Because if we have a hardened heart or a calloused heart, we are not going to be able to perceive and understand spiritual truth. God could be shouting to us, but we won't perceive it. Remember when Jesus was speaking to the crowds and to the people, to the Pharisees and to the scribes, and He would speak to them in parables. He spoke to them in a prophetic language. Because seeing, they would not perceive. Or hearing, they would not understand. Basically, if they didn't have a heart to do what Jesus was saying, they would not be able to understand and perceive what He was saying. And this is the mercy of God. Because the more light we have, the more accountability and responsibility we have. Does that make sense? And so, our heart is critical. If we have hard places in our heart, we got to go after that. We cannot allow those hard places to stay in our heart. We can't be content. We cannot make excuses. And I speak to this especially as a prophetic community, and I don't talk as a hypocrite, although I know I have hypocritical areas in my life. I don't know if any of you, sometimes God will tell me, you know, you're being a hypocrite. I'm thankful that He tells me that. I want to know it. I don't want to turn a blind eye to my heart condition. I don't want to pretend like nothing's wrong. I want to have my heart be in the best condition as possible because I want to commune with God as much as I possibly can. I want to hear Him in every way He is willing to speak to me. I want to understand everything that He is willing to say. I mean, how many of you want to turn down anything from God Almighty? I don't want to miss a thing. And in order for us to be in a position to fully receive, we got to know that our heart is right. We need to have a heart of truth. Number one, our heart is where our true spirituality is measured. Letter A, truth must be established and rooted deep within our hearts. We must be willing to die for truth. Do you understand that? We must be willing to, I mean, what is this thing we call Christianity? Is it just something that makes us feel good? Or is it our whole life and our complete future, everything? All of our chips are pushed in the center of this and we're giving everything to God. God, I'm giving everything to You. Right? Are we playing a game or are we serious? And when it comes down to it, our spirituality, our intimacy with God is the most important thing in existence. We need to be as close to God as we can. And if we want to grow in our ability to hear God's voice and commune with Him, then we want to go as deep into that area as we possibly can. God can trust us. It must be established and rooted deep within our hearts. I hope that when I get to heaven, God will say one of the deepest rooted things within your heart is truth. I'm hoping He'll say the other one is love. Psalm 51:6-7 says, "Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." How many of you know we need the Lord to cleanse us? That the Word of God cleanses us. We need the Word of God to cleanse us and wash us. Jeremiah 17:9-10 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" Verse 10, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give to each man or woman according to their way, according to the results of his or her deeds." Some people do not like the idea that God would search their heart or their mind. Do we really have another choice? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've weighed the options for a while. When things get hard, I keep thinking, is there another way? There's no plan B. I mean, it's either His way or no way. So God, search my heart. Reveal to me. Search my mind. I don't want any compromise within me, even though I've compromised much in my life. I don't want to stand up here and act like I'm like holier than thou. You know, what I'm trying to exhort everyone here and probably just confirm something that God's already been saying to you anyway. But certainly not be on a pedestal like I'm, you know, you need to be like me. Maybe there are some things that are good, but I'm not talking about me and comparing me with you. You guys know what I'm saying tonight? What I want to do is I want to exhort you and I want to encourage you, but I also want to just maybe repeat some things that have already been going on in your mind and heart that the Holy Spirit has been speaking. Proverbs 4:23-24 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips." Oftentimes you can tell the condition of your heart based on the things that come out of your mouth. What do you say when it's only you and one other brother or one other sister and you know they have the same complaint that you do? You know, I don't want to say nothing. You know, I don't want to, you know. You know how that goes? You know, I don't want to get anything started. I don't want to gossip or anything. But I tell you what, we really need to be praying about so-and-so. I've done that before. I know I'm the only one here that's done that. B, our hearts leak from our mouth its true condition. Our heart leaks from our mouth its true condition. When we are in a good place, our mouth will leak it. We can't help it. At some point, it's going to leak. If we're in a bad place, at some points it's going to leak. Matthew 12:34-37 says, "For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man or woman brings out of the good treasure what is good, and the evil man or woman brings out of his or her heart the evil treasure that is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." This is a pretty big deal for prophetic people. If we're people who are called to give the word of the Lord, how many of us realize that we're the mouthpiece of God? Okay, we got a few in here. Well, some of you may understand in a deeper way because of your calling and your history and the vision that God has for you, your spiritual gifts. And you know, there's even a greater accountability when we do know for the words that we say. There are things that we can wrestle with internally, and we can wrestle, but when we start speaking things, it changes. We're supposed to be able to speak life, not death. God has never raised up a prophetic person to speak death to the things He wants to speak life to. Now, there are times that God wants some things to die, the things that are negative, things that aren't according to His will. But we are called to really, in the New Testament, prophetic people, to speak life and to release the words of life. We're to bless. That Greek word for careless says, every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. That word careless in the Greek is argos. And it means hypocritical or lifeless, insincere or not at work. So every hypocritical word, we start speaking to people, oh, you should be doing this, you should be doing that. We start judging people, we say they're this and that, they should know better. These are the things that we're going to give an accounting for. I cringe at the thought of how many things I've got to give an accounting for. Gossip, criticism, critical evaluations and appraisals of the lives and the actions of others. Slander. It can be so easy as we get this self-righteous religious spirit. We start striving for excellence. We start to get a little bit. We start to grow a little bit. We start to get a little bit off the milk. And pretty soon we think that we're supposed to evaluate other people. That we're supposed to criticize them. Well, they should know better than to wear something like that to church. Or what business they have buying something like that? They can't afford that. Or you make anything else up. There's always something. When you look at someone long enough, you're going to find something wrong with them. It doesn't matter where you go, what church or which person. If we strain at someone long enough, we're going to find something wrong with them. Everywhere we go. But we're not supposed to be, we're not called as the children of God to point out the wrong in people, are we? Actually, prophetic ministry, according to 1 Corinthians 14:3, says it's to edify, exhort, and comfort. There was a whole other story in the Old Testament. It was a completely different scenario. Sometimes we think, well, you know, we need to call out the sin. Well, I would like to sit down with someone and have them walk me through some scriptures. Because the truth of it is that we're supposed to, the Bible says, love covers a multitude of sin. And when you're in leadership and you're in a different situation, sometimes it's our responsibility to deal with those things. But it's not something that we should ever look for like a recreation. Yeah? We go in, and there's people that I know of that they or that felt like they have a ministry that's called to negativity. They call it discernment, but what it is I'm going to point out wrong, and they're, you know, I'm called to go to travel from church to church to point out everything wrong in that church and then move on. Boy, they're going to really throw their doors open and welcome you in, aren't they? Yeah? Many of us already know what's wrong. We're just needing God to give us the answer to help us to change. Or we're going through the process of dying to self in areas. Tell me what I'm doing right. Right? Tell me the treasure that's hidden in me. Talk to me about my calling so my faith will be increased, that I can have vision that will sustain me so I can go through the dark, deep places of change. We're called to be transformers, light bearers, encouragers. There is an issue of calling. There is judging righteously, and then there's other judgment. Righteous judgment is that which Christ set the example for. And we are to, when we judge, we're supposed to judge in righteousness. Now don't judge me because my sin is different than yours. How many of us do that? How many of us have done that? My sin, I don't have that sin, so I'm judging them. I don't like it. My sins are okay. They're not as serious. They're not as serious as your sins. Yeah? Sin, sin. Isaiah 11, 2 through 4. This has to do with Jesus, but it's we call this the sevenfold spirit of prophecy. But it's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him being Jesus. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and strength. The Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And here we go. This is why I the scripture's in here. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord, and he will not judge by what his eyes see, nor make a decision by what his ears hear. But with righteousness, he will judge. How many of you know that we can get part of the story? People could watch something and see something from the outside and not fully understand what's going on. God knows our heart motives and the intents of our heart. And when Jesus judged, he did it in righteousness. He didn't do it based on what his eyes see or what his ears hear. In fact, the Bible says that he only said what he heard the Father say and did what he saw the Father do. Now that's a prophetic life. Those are the very testimony of Jesus as a spirit of prophecy. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 5 says, therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will bring both to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men and women's hearts. And then each man or woman's praise will come to him or her from God. Appearance is weak. Amen. It is very weak. So many situations. You know, I believe that there's been many people who've gone to prison who there have been assumptions and presumptions made based on what they saw with their eyes and heard with their ears, but they don't know the whole story. John 7:24 says, do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. That's not in your notes. I want you guys to write that down if you have a pen. That's John 7:24. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. There are so many things that aren't what they appear to be. How many of you in here have been spoken about or judged in a way that was incorrect? But yet we do it to others, don't we? What's wrong with us? I don't get that. I ask myself, really, what is wrong with you? Why do you do things like this? You know, I start to begin to think I'm somebody. That I'm the measuring bar. Our hearts, the more humble we are, the more that we become like Christ. And it's not that we turn a head to sin or that we don't have a bearing for it, but what we do is we got to be very careful about the words that come out of our mouth that we say against another person or another church. How many of us have said things about Catholics? Catholics are good people now. There are some Catholics that are some of the most on fire Jesus-loving people out there. And because they think a little bit differently than we do, or maybe there are more than just a little bit differently, maybe there are some significant things, but we begin to get prejudice against them. And then we get the self-righteous. And I'm just using, certainly nothing against, I have nothing against Catholic people, or any other denomination. But we can do that. We can get in that place where it's our team against their team. It's silly and it's childish. And if we want to grow in our ability to commune with God, we got to get off of the milk and get on to the meat. And it takes responsibility. There's a price to pay. We go through dying. We go through process. How many on the prophetic team always feel it when Tuesday night rolls around? Huh? How many of you on the team know? There's a price to pay to be on a prophetic team. You talk about warfare. It's not just the enemy, but the Lord sifts us. And if we're going to stand and we're going to keep the wall of the prophetic ministry in this region, we got to have pure hearts. We've got to have hearts of truth. We got to be sincere about our relationship with God. I speak to me as I speak to you. Matthew 7:1-5 is this one that can hit us all between the eyes. It makes me not want to judge anybody after I read this, right? Do not judge so that you will not be judged. I mean, the Bible tells us, you know what, when you judge someone, the same way you just judge them, you're going to be judged. So hope you're clean. Hope you got that area real good, because get ready, it's coming. You know, one of the things I found is like the promises of God can be like, I take a long time. Those prophecies being fulfilled. But there's something about when you start stepping into judging others, how it can happen right now. You don't have to wait too long for that. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard, we set the measurement. By our measure to standard, it will be measured to you. So why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother or sister, let me take that speck out of your eye, and behold, there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. In other words, my sin is different than yours. I'm more righteous than you because my sin is not as bad as yours. We don't say those things, but it's weird how we can think it and feel it sometimes. So you turn the page there. This is something for us to take a moment as we're together. Now, all you guys know this, I'm sure. Most of you guys do at least. That we have to work on our heart. We've got to forgive people. Even when people have done us wrong, how many of you know that God sets you up? God, you know, we as people, we want to find that smooth, straight road where there's no bumps, there's no issues, there's no... That's not the way of Jesus. If Jesus had to go on the cross and go through everything that he did, how much do we have to go through the dying process of dying daily? Pick up your cross and die daily. We have got to die, surrender to the will, to our own will. We got to die to our own will, surrender to the will of God, and take on his will. And he's like, see that road down there? And we're like, whoa, is that a road? It looks like the top of a mountain, God. It looks like cliffs. Yeah, that's what you're supposed to go down. You're an overcomer. I live in you. You can do anything. I have a great work for you to do. And we're thinking anytime we hit a bump that it's the devil's fault. I just had to tell you right now, he is not that powerful. And we're not that important. Do you think that Satan himself even knows that I'm alive? Probably not. But we address him as if he's omnipotent. We give him far too much credit. Only God is omnipotent. Once you flip your notes over on the second page, this is something that I want to have you guys do with me right now, but also to take and to do later. This is when I first started training my nephew to hear the voice of God. He was about 8 years old. You know how he heard God so clearly? Is when we asked God to show him any sin in his heart. Anything that he wasn't pleased with. Lord, we were praying, God, Jesus, we ask you to show, and I just say my nephew, him, anything that you want him to stop doing or to start doing or something along those lines. And man, did he start seeing. And man, did he start hearing. It was amazing how God would speak to a child and they could go back to that moment and understand what they'd done wrong and what they need to do differently. If you struggle with hearing the voice of God, start in the areas that God wants to approve in your life. I bet you you'll hear God. The enemy's not going to speak to you and tell you how you can get a cleaner heart. You don't have to wrestle with that wondering if it's the enemy or not. Oh, man. You know, Satan's not going to tell you to quit lying. That's an easy one. So I'm just going to ask you a question, and this is something that you ask yourself. It's things that I've asked my own self. And be prepared to hear the voice of God right now, okay? Be prepared, because I bet he's going to speak at least something. Have I judged anyone lately? Have I judged anyone lately? Have I gossiped about anyone recently? Have I gossiped about anyone recently? Have I been critical of anyone's actions or behavior? Have I been critical of anyone else's actions or behavior? Have I spoke critical things against church leadership? Have I spoke critical things against church leadership? Have I been hypocritical in my life lately? Have I been a hypocrite lately? Have I asked God to examine my heart lately? God, have I asked you to examine my heart lately? There's a character prayer of repentance and cleansing here. And if you want to read along, you can, but I'm just going to read this. And I invite you to read this with me. You don't have to do it out loud. We're not going to do that. It's not repeat after me. But this is something that you can take and meditate on. This prayer has meant a lot to me. I just took most of this out of the Psalms. And it's an old prayer that I made right when I was just feeling like, man, I am as dirty as they come. I spent some time on the Word. And there's something about praying the Word and praying the Scriptures about being cleansed, that the Word of God, truth, will cleanse you. Examine me, O Lord, and try me. Test my mind and my heart. I surrender to your lordship. Teach me, and I will be silent. And show me how I have erred. I repent of unrighteous living. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Wash me completely from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Purge me by your merciful spirit of truth, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth, and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I'm just going to quickly, we're going to transition now into ministry time, so I'm going to ask the prophetic team to go ahead and come on up. As some of you may be waiting, I want to challenge you, please, no one leave your notes here, but take them with you. And as some of you are waiting, I challenge you to go over the questions and be honest. If you're afraid someone will see it, then don't write your name on it. Yeah? Prophetic team, go ahead and come on up with your recorders. Everybody that's going to minister on the prophetic team, come right on up front. So some of you, God probably brought a scenario to your mind out of all those questions that you could work on. And so I want to challenge you to take this seriously. As we're serious with God and working on our heart, as we're serious with God and being diligent and doing the right thing and asking Him to go in. You know, we don't want dark places in our heart. We don't want hard places in our heart. We don't want cataracts on the eyes of our heart, do we? We want to see clearly. And so I just challenge you in a loving way to look at this and pray about it, at least take it home with you, okay? So I'm going to go ahead and pray and dismiss. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for the opportunity that you've given us to come together as a family, as sons and daughters of God, to hear about the things of the Spirit, the things, your Scripture, your Word, the things that are important to you. Lord, we ask you to examine our heart. We ask you to show us the words that come out of our mouth. Lord, what idle word, what hypocritical word, what thing is it that we speak? What is it that you said that every careless word that we're going to give an account for? Lord, help us to know what careless words we're speaking, if any. I bless everyone here in the name of Jesus, and I call everyone's hearing to a new level, the hearing of the voice of the Lord. And I pray for a deeper passion in all of us, to tend our hearts and to go deep and being humble and being loving and to have a heart after Christ. Lord, help us to overcome any and every obstacle that could hinder us in our pursuit of intimacy with you. I just bless everyone here, every church, every family, every ministry, every region and city in Jesus' name.